Welcome. Welcome, people, to the Tim Anderson Podcast. I'm Tim, and that is my good buddy, Zach, over there. And we have cards in the middle, which can only mean one thing. Zach and I continuing our continuing series of waxing on wax. Today, we wax on baseball. Zach, hello, my friend. Good to have you here.
Good to be here, Tim. Excited for another pack. We're opening some current stuff this week. So should be fun. We can talk a little bit about the MLB season going on right now.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. We, you know, it's funny. Based on our last conversation that we had with Bo Jackson, I did go back and watch one episode of Pro Stars on YouTube. And it was a total delight. It's the worst ever, but I still watched it because I was young. And I went back and watched the 1989 All-Star Game, at least the first inning. I had to go back and watch Bo take Rick Rueschel to deep center field. You just look back and you're like, wow, he hit that a ton. Very impressive. It was just, again, if you haven't seen some Bo footage, there's plenty of stuff out there. Go ahead and do it on YouTube. And while you're at it, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment. Thank you for, again, all of your viewership and listenership over the last couple weeks to this podcast and to all the podcasts we do here on my channel. So I appreciate that. All right, Zach, baseball season. We're into the home stretch. We're getting towards September. Has it been an enjoyable season to you? Have you checked out? Are you still engaged? Or are you?
I think I'm on the verge of checkout with the Twins right now.
Yeah.
I was gonna say this top series two that we're opening here. I don't know if I want to save any to open later because I don't think I want to revisit this season from a Twins perspective. At least
it's been a rough one here down the stretch. The pitching hasn't been very good. The hitting has been really bad lately. I mean, you looked at the batting averages last night when they put up the starting lineup for the Twins game, and they're just, other than Arraez, who has been awesome, like there's nobody hitting. Like, Miranda's having a nice little season. I like what Miranda's doing. But, like, yeah, other than that, a lot of guys hitting 250, 240, 230, 220. Jake Cave was in the lineup the other night hitting 176. I mean,
that's the problem if you're a Twins fan right now. There's just too many guys in the lineup that should be in AAA. So, all right, so we got 67 cards here. So, you know, I always say part of what I like about this is you can't really show prep because you don't know what you're going to get out of the
That's exactly
box.
It.
But we're definitely going to get some stuff to talk about. And right off the bat, Josh Hader will probably be one of those because he's been terrible since his trade to the Padres.
Future stars Alec Boehm, we don't know. Wilmer Flores, there's Jimenez, nice player there. Mark Melanson, there you go. Okay, we're sorting through them. I like the look of these cards, though. Very nice and shiny. I like that.
I do like the current tops look. I wonder why that one was opposite direction on its own. I'll have to look at that. That may have been a short.
They want you to like Justice Sheffield right there. They said they wanted to talk about him, but no, that's not going to happen. Brandon Belt.
Nope.
Right there. Yordan Alvarez, very talented.
Yeah, we talked about him.
We've talked about him.
And a couple times. He's had some big years going here and playing well.
Your guy, Trey Turner. And Danby Swanson. Mm-hmm. DJ LeMahieu. The Yankees are an interesting convo, so that could be something there.
Yeah,
into that.
He continues to, I think, be a little underrated.
I think so. Jordan Montgomery, as we work through this set. I hope you're watching at home. I love that Angels uni.
Yeah, I would say a sweet uniform.
That is a sweet Angels uniform. Absolutely right there. Look at all these flipping upside down cards. Ridiculous. Rendon, Kane, Lorenzo Kane. What was your favorite moment for him? Verlander. We've talked about Verlander, but that's a great Verlander card. I like the stars of the Jimenez card. The Machado is really cool. And Miggy, there we go.
Still around.
Still around. Still alive and kicking after all these years. Juan Soto. Ooh, I love the old school, like 1985 or 86 look there. Ooh, Nolan Ryan insert.
Yep. We'll keep him on the list, of course.
Of course. We got to talk about him. Fantastic. Your guy Bailey
Over.
There's
a sweet twin uniform too.
I love the powder blues. Give me more of them, man. I'm in. I'm in on the powder blue stuff. Always have
the other day they wore them with the red hats. The red hats really complete the ensemble.
I agree with that. That is very true.
for sure.
Although I will say this, I prefer the M to the TC, except for the red on the powder blues. Except for that. Yeah. That's it. Other than that, give me the M. Give me the little lowercase M for the Twins logo. That's the way I feel about it.
I like that they just stacked like 20 horizontal cards together in a row. That Machado card is pretty cool.
That is a very cool Machado card. I really like that one. Luis Severino. Some different themes here. A lot of love for the Padres. Not a lot of love for the Padres in this set. That's not bad. Your guy, Anthony Santander, I believe that is right there. So there you go. Contreras, Gleyber Torres, and Jack Lopez. It got hot in the middle. The pack got hot in the middle. There was some good stuff in there. A lot of stuff for us to talk about. You know, could I actually start with the Juan Soto? Because this ties back to the Tatis conversation that I think we should have a little bit, because we haven't really talked about it. So they acquire Soto, San Diego does. They give up, you know, a fair amount of stuff for Soto in the hopes that they were going to get Tatis back. And, you know, here we got this great little lineup here, you know, and they still have a very good lineup. I'm not trying to act like they're in bad shape here. They're in really good shape still. But they were looking at, boy, if we go Machado, Tatis, and Soto in the middle of the lineup, we're going to be a really hard team to beat. And then basically 2 days later, the Tatis news comes out. He says it's for ringworm. He said it was, he didn't, but this type of steroid is been used by 80s Olympians. This isn't in a lot of stuff anymore. So where did he get this? And that you don't buy it, do you?
Yeah, no, I mean, do we buy any of the excuses we hear?
No.
You know, so he really, really flubbed this season, right? I mean, he's going to miss a full year and then into next year as well. You know, like, there are things I like about the Padres, and I want to there go my dogs.
And there go your dogs. That's okay. Welcome to the podcast. That's good. We can have the dogs on every now and again.
We have a neighborhood cat that sits outside our door, and our dogs just go crazy anytime she's sitting there. I want to like the Padres. Like, you know, if my MLB past where I couldn't watch any game, like I find myself watching a decent amount of Padre games, you know, late at night West Coast games. I'm just not a Machado fan.
It
makes it hard. Like, I'm really torn.
But you kind of like Juan Soto, right? I mean, and that's just it. You'd love to like Tatis. Like you.
Yep. And I've got Soto in a dynasty fantasy baseball league, right? So it's great watching. You know, great that he's there now, but the Machado stuff is hard. You know, just even back to when he was stepping on guys' heels, running the bases and stuff like that, I just didn't care for him. And, you know, the crazy thing is, too, we're talking, like, they're a pretty good team. And, you know, we thought that addition would make them better. And they're still 19 and a half games out as we record this here on Thursday.
And that's the thing, like losing Tatis, they weren't going to catch the Dodgers regardless, right? The idea was that they were going to get this stacked lineup for the playoffs, and in a five-game series, in a short thing, that lineup, if it gets hot, is you know, capable of taking over a series, you know, much like we've seen in the past with really great offensive teams. Now it just feels like they added Soto but didn't gain much. Like I feel like they're still the same team. The difference, I mean, for the thing that might work out to their advantage is the fact that the Dodgers, their pitching staff is tenuous at best, right? And speaking of tenuous, we're going to talk Josh Hader for the Padres because that hasn't worked out, as you mentioned. But, like, the Dodgers losing Walker Buehler to a second Tommy John and an old Clayton Kershaw at the front end of your rotation, Tony Gaunt, I'm a little concerned about the Dodgers in a short series.
I've been a Gonsolin fan for a while. He's another guy who's on my dynasty baseball team, but I don't know if you can go into a series with him as like the guy, right? I mean, he's had a great year, but is he really a number one that you trust come playoff time? I don't know. So, you know, last thing on the Soto card here, the sweet wood border from the 87 set.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it was, 87. I was trying to remember what year it was, the 87 set.
I know someone who has put together like a whole like wall of them. they basically turned it into wallpaper, so it's like wood paneling with players and a guy online, and it is quite hideous.
I love the idea. I love the concept, though. I love the idea.
So, speaking of hideous, Josh Hader, since he's been in San Diego, there was a point this year, right? I texted you, right? And I told you that Josh Hader was the best pitcher in baseball right now.
You did say that sarcastically in the text, because I was like, are you sure about that? I don't know about that. And then you're like, yeah, look at all these stats. He's number one in. And you were 100% right on all that, obviously.
Yeah, at the time. Yep. I mean, he was amazing. He had gone like almost a full year of just dominant, right, the last 12 months. But, man, has he fallen off. And I wonder if the workload is starting to catch up to him.
You do wonder. I mean, he's basically this kind of all-purpose guy, like the old-school Goose Gossage type, where, like, they would bring Gossage in like, or Bruce Sutter, right, comes to mind. Guys they'd bring in like, the sixth inning or the fifth inning and ask them to get big outs. And that's what he's always in, high-leverage, tough situations. He's not just a ninth-inning closer. He's an all-purpose, any inning, anytime you need a big out. That does tend to wear, and you're right, the workload tends to get high quickly, but also, like, when you get hit for the first time, like, for a sustained period, and that cloak of invincibility kind of goes away, I feel like it changes guys. Some, they have to readjust and come back, or they tend to fade away, like in the case of Aroldis Chapman, where, like, he's not the same pitcher after he got hit around a few times, and Eric Gagne wasn't the same pitcher after he got hit around a few times. And you wonder if that's Josh Hader right now, and can he make the adjustment and become dominant again?
And it's a very interesting decision made by the Brewers, because at the time, right, it was neck and neck in the division with the Cardinals, and now they're 5.5 games back, and they're also, you know, a game and a half out of a wild card spot. But I think Milwaukee's been good at reloading, right? They've had – like, they figure out, well, maybe this isn't quite our year. They're not afraid to go for it when they go for it. But an interesting decision, I think, nonetheless, for them to make that move.
And I always am – I'm okay with moving on a guy a year early rather than a year late. Like, if you see – if you're selling at what you deem to be the highest value for a guy, I'm okay with that. Even if that means, okay, we may not win the World Series because we don't have him now – but I do think in 2 years we're going to be as good, if not better, then I support those kinds of moves. I really do. If they, you know, if you deem that your team's not good enough, right? And I know fans will get mad. They're like, no, you got to go for it every year. There are some years you got to be realistic. Like, people were getting upset at the Twins for not really going for it and making big swings at the deadline. And it's like, dude, they ain't better than the three teams in front. No trade they can make will make them that. So let's not get carried away here. Right? I'd have been okay selling.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a tough sell for the Twins to sell this year. I mean, there are definitely arguments to be made that they could have.
No, I wouldn't have wanted to trade Correa or anything like that. But, I mean, the idea of, like, I'm not going to mortgage – I don't want to mortgage Kirilloff or something like that or Royce Lewis right now just to maybe make the playoffs. If I'm moving those guys, it's because I believe I can win the whole thing. Like the Padres felt. The Padres feel like they can win the whole thing.
Their position continues to be a lack of star power. Mm-hmm. And they weren't going to add star power here at the deadline, right? You're going to get role players. You're going to get guys who, you know, out of the bullpen, third or fourth starter. And, yeah, I'm fine with that, right? Like, I'm fine with not adding those guys this year.
Yeah, and Soto was clearly the big name at the deadline. I'll give the Padres all the credit in the world. They went for it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but I'm not going to get angry at them because they believed they could win if they got there. And I think, again, a lot
and
of that
got a whole.
Yeah, they got Soto for, what, three more years? Yeah, at least two more years with Soto. Right? So that's fine.
Right, so they really have a decision. They have a decision to make in like a year.
The decision they need to think about here is like, okay, do we try to void Tatis's deal if we found out he was taking the, if they can prove he was taking the steroids purposefully, you know, and do they want to get out of that deal? Yeah, I mean, do they want to, because they want to stay with him, right? I mean, and they want him for next year if they can get him in the playoff run next year.
For sure. They want him on the team, and they want Soto on the team. And we'll see, right? The question is, will they sign Soto long term? I don't know, but they could also make a move otherwise. So
Well, the good news for them is they got out of the Hosmer deal by trading Hosmer because they were paying him a lot of money. So that freed up some money. They got better and also saved a little money on the back end, which isn't too bad for them. I would say that was a good move. All right, I see Cabrera's up on the screen. Let's talk Cabrera.
Yeah, as I say, speaking of guys making a lot of money that aren't doing much.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about him historically in a minute, but at what point do the Tigers need to, like, ask him to move along?
Yeah, like, thanks. We love you. We appreciate all you did for our franchise. But yeah, we need to.
Right. I mean, he's a DH who's not hitting much. And, like, yes, there's some cool numbers he's achieved now here the last couple of years. But, like, at this point, like, there's nothing, right? You're not selling extra tickets for people to hit, watch him chase 3,000 hits. You're not, I don't know. I think it's time.
Yeah, they're doing what the Twins did in the 90s, where it felt like they were just grabbing dudes who were right at the beginning of, who were about to achieve milestones. And it was like Winfield for a 3,000th hit, Molitor for a 3,000th hit. And, you know, I mean, no, it was later 2000s, but you grab Jim Thome for 500 home runs or six, whatever it was for him. And it's just like, there is a value to that if you're not a good baseball team. Like, I understand wanting to have these milestone things in your yard because it gives fans a reason to come to the ballpark. And, you know, the Cardinals are kind of doing that this year with the Pujols, Yadi, Molina, you know, farewell tour. Although it was nice of Yadi Molina to take the
weekend. The Cardinals are leading the division.
Yeah, they are. I think they're even surprising themselves with that too. But
and same thing with, like, when the Twins added Thome, like they were competitive and he was still having competitive at bats. He wasn't just chasing numbers, right?
Fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
He made him better, I feel like. But I mean, what is Cabrera? Cabrera's hitting 260 and he's slugging 320.
Yeah, it's
right, like, your DH is slugging 320, you have a problem.
That's true. And he's obviously he can't move anymore. I mean, he's not the 19-year-old with the cannon arm in right field who was, you know, 180 pounds that could do literally everything. You know, he's not that guy anymore. He's just kind of a big lumbering dude who hits home runs and singles and strikes out. I mean, that's just what he does.
And
he
doesn't do anything else. And let's not, right, we're not here to tear down his legacy, right? He's a multiple-time MVP. He
might be the best hitter of this generation. Might be the best hitter of this generation. Of this,
right,
won
the Triple Crown.
Yep.
You know, everyone will remember him as a Tiger, but there were some fantastic years as a Marlin.
Yeah.
As well.
They win the World Series in 03 because of him, I think. Like, they had this great young nucleus, but it was like when they added Cabrera, they added this piece that you couldn't have traded for. Like they brought this kid up and he was better than a lot of dudes. He was ready to play Major League Baseball right away. Very few dudes come up at 19-20 and are that good.
And he was solid but not spectacular that year, and he continued to get better and better and better. But yeah, I mean, he's 39. You can't have a 39-year-old taking up 500 at bats in a year if you're not competing.
I agree.
That's as simple as I, you know, can put it. So.
And the Tigers are in this place now where they got to figure out kind of what they are. I mean, they've been trying to do this rebuild thing. It's been a disaster. I feel like they've been in rebuild mode for like 7 years. It's getting back to that early 2000s Tigers teams where it just felt like they were just swimming in upstream and they had no no momentum. They just fired the general manager. They've gone through a few different managers now. AJ Hinch, it doesn't seem like it's working right now with him. This team needs an enema, as they used to say, right? Right? They need a shot in the arm. They need something else to get this thing going the other direction.
Well, I remember when they started to turn things around. It was when they added
Pudge,
right? And everyone said they overpaid for him, but the reality was they had to overpay for the first guy to then make it seem like a plausible destination for other guys. And, you know, I mean, in retrospect, right, they made some moves this year and they haven't worked out. But they signed some big names. But for them to sit at 48 wins right now and dead last in the American League, yes, they need to probably start over again.
Yeah. And, you know, signing a guy like Pudge, who's a proven winner, I think is, we've seen that track record work, right? When you go out and sign veteran dudes who change clubhouses and make things work, like Pudge is that guy. Torrey Hunter was that guy, you know, for the Twins when they brought him back as just the sort of old sage. Like, I thought it really changed the makeup of the team, makeup of the clubhouse. It seems like that works. Like, if you're a bad team, you go get a solid veteran guy who still has some tread on the tires, and it's amazing how much better you get.
All right, so Patrick Sandoval and Nolan Ryan on the screen now. Patrick Sandoval makes the show simply based on his throwback jersey.
Love it. It's the best. It's right? Such a great jersey.
This is one of the other, you know, classic Astro jerseys, not the huge full body rainbow that has become popular again today, but the arm sleeves. What are some of your favorite retro uniforms?
I actually prefer that Astros jersey to the full rainbow Astros jersey. I think that's very clean. I really like that one. I've always been a fan of Kansas City's powder blue. I mean, all powder blues in general, but I thought the Royals one just was awesome because I love that big Royals logo across the front. That one's great.
I think the Royals one too. Their blue lends itself to the powder blue as well.
Right.
And you know, it gives us a little bit of that Blaine feel. We're just talking high schools nearby.
Yeah, I really like that Royals one. That Royals one is I always liked the Mets striped pinstripe. I liked the Mets pinstripe jersey more in the 80s, the one that they wore sort of as their 80s jersey. I really liked that one. It was a little busy, but I dug it. I thought it looked good.
I do like, on my end, I like the White Sox,
which
old one with the, yeah, well, they've had so many retro ones. The navy blue bar across the chest with red piping. That just
Sock. Yeah, I like that one.
You know, and the number on the pants, too.
Oh, yes, that's right. I always think of Ozzie Guillen or Harold Baines.
And that's the retro jersey that Chris Sale cut up. Remember, in the pregame one, because he never wanted to wear them when he pitched, and they were scheduled to wear them, so he took a knife and cut his apart, so they didn't have to wear them in his game when he was out there.
That's too bad, because that's a great jersey. Like I really like that one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's a couple other ones I like.
I think for me. You also need to talk about
obviously Montreal. Montreal sticks out to me as one of my just favorite jerseys. Yeah. I love the Expos jerseys.
I liked the yellow of Oakland, right?
Yeah.
From like 72 to 83.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pirates also in late 70s, just they're different black and yellows.
Yeah, we're in the black baseball pants for those Pirates teams. That's always unique. I'm not a huge fan of the black pants, but I liked it. Right? But I did like the square caps. That was different. I liked that.
Yeah,
those are some good ones.
What do you think of teams that, like, they don't change, right? Like the Dodgers, the Yankees,
Red Sox.
The Red Sox have basically been the same. Although the Red Sox aren't afraid to do the City Connect and the different, you know, They have stuff for like Boston Day and for
Patriots Day and things like that.
Yeah. They've got different looks, but I mean those teams that just have had the same.
Yeah, and
you like it or do
Red
not
Sox
like it?
And the Red Sox will sprinkle in an alternative like a red or something like that red alternative jersey. I like the teams that have tradition staying with the tradition. Like if you're the Yankees and you're like, you know what, we've done pretty well with these two jerseys. I don't know if we need to reinvent the wheel here. We're a pretty good brand as it is. I'm good with that. Like I'm really good with that. Same with the Dodgers. I'm good with it. Cardinals, same thing. The Cardinals don't have to do anything like that. That's pretty classic and iconic, and they don't have to do much with that jersey and that hat and that uniform. I'm okay with switching it up if either we're not doing a lot of winning or, you know, our brand isn't, you know, needs a change, needs something, or we don't have a history to hang our hat on. I'm okay with changing then. right? I'm not okay with changing for change's sake. Like, the Diamondbacks have gone through like four iterations since they've been a franchise, and they've only been a franchise for like 20-some years. Not a huge fan of that. I'd like to see them stay a little more consistent. The Angels, too, went through that stretch, right, where they went from that really great jersey that you see on the screen. Then they went to the like a different a version of that, the Angels in the outfield jerseys, I like to call them. And then they went to that uber ugly Disney blue, that jersey for a while, where it was like a cartoon, until they finally kind of went back and settled on this Angels jersey that they have now. But it was like, I don't understand change for change's sake. Make sure the change is meaningful if you're going to do it.
One that does baffle me is when teams just go like a full out like color change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like the Diamondbacks just full on changing everything. Right?
It's hard to get on board with that. You come in purple and then before you know it, we're red. Like, what the hell just happened?
And I understand that, like, the Arizona and Miami were very much a product of their time, right? Like when they came into the league.
Yep.
Their uniforms were probably not built to last.
I liked the Marlins jersey. Yeah. I did like that first Marlins jersey. They won their World Series with those jerseys. I liked them. I was a big Marlin. I liked the Marlins jerseys. I did. I don't like their I don't like what they have. I like what they have now better than what they did in the middle when they first went to Miami. Ugh,
but,
those were hideous.
But what they've done, I mean, they've basically still kept a lot of the color scheme.
Yep.
Right, they're still teal. They've added to it. I get that purple and teal probably wasn't long for this world in Arizona, but I feel like they could have stayed with purple and maybe, you know, moved away from the teal. But like just jumping over to, you know, I mean, they're like maroonish. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's not quite maroon, but it's not red.
It's very hard to identify with it. It's just their franchise doesn't feel like it has identifiable colors. I mean, you could argue that the Mariners did something similar to that when they went from their blue and gold to their sort of greenish navy blue look. But
yeah.
I didn't feel like they really abandoned their look. Like I felt like they kind of – the S was still there. It was a pretty famous part of their hat. They just tweaked a few things. I didn't think it was terrible. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with tradition if you've got it. If you're the Yankees, you don't got to change anything.
Last thought on this, the Sox are great on this Angels uniform.
Yes.
But I don't understand them. The blue star on the white field. Like, I don't know. I mean, Sox game is great, but it doesn't really fit. Like,
I'm a big fan of the high Sox for baseball. I think we need to return to that. I'm in on that 100%. I'm in on the old stirrups. If you want to wear the stirrups, I'm in on that too.
All right. Yeah, stirrups are great. Sox are an important part of the uniform in baseball, I feel like.
Yeah. You're a big proponent of it for your softball team that you coach, right? Like you're a big like everything's got to look a certain way and you're a big uniform guy. You think about the uniform a lot when you coach, don't you?
There's a lot that goes into designing them. We don't just let the kids design it and say, "Go ahead, have fun." Like there's some things that need to, you know, work together.
And you would call your – do you think you're a traditionalist on uniforms or do you think you're a kind of somebody who's willing to meet the two sides of old school and new school to create this fusion?
I would say our uniforms lean more traditional, but that there is some meaning in the middle. So
there you go. I like that. There you go. That's good. Any other thoughts on Nolan Ryan or were we just talking uniforms?
I think we were just talking uniforms.
I like that too.
I thought they both fit together. I mean, we could spend a whole
pod on Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan's. Yeah. Except if we could just get some footage of him beating the shit out of Robin Ventura, then we really got it here.
Indeed.
That was one of my favorites. Well, I think we covered this pack, did we? Did we do a decent job with this? I'd like to think we hammered out some pretty major stuff.
Yep. Yep. Anytime we can talk uniforms on the pod, I'm in.
Yeah, we'll have to dedicate. When we get to football, we'll have to sit down for a whole football uniform pod, too, because that's always the conversation like with teams like the Patriots, right? Is, you know, the Patriots are now in this weird place where we all agree the old jersey was the best jersey, but they did all their winning with the new one. So, like, how do you change it?
And I think it's kind of exciting to, or, well, maybe not exciting is not the right word, but that the NFL's letting him wear more than one helmet this year, so we'll get to see some different looks there too.
It's gonna be fun. Can't wait.
I don't need a college football team where you wear a different helmet every game, but a little variety is okay.
Yeah, a little variety is okay. But yes, I am out on the. I mean, I think the Gophers are gonna wear 9 different uniforms, and the Oregon Ducks wear a different one every week. So we're out on all that. So thanks. Yeah. Pass on that. There's a reason why Alabama looks the same. Thank you, everybody. So that's it for this edition of Waxing on Wax, a little baseball edition. We want to thank everybody for watching, listening. Continue to like, subscribe, comment, retweet if you see it on Twitter. Talk to us about some of your favorite uniforms. Let us know what like a favorite old school throwback jersey is for you. And maybe Zach and I will come up with something fun for you. And we'll engage you in that conversation online as well. So till next time, for Zach, this is Tim saying keep your head up and we will see you.